This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Final hour, fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Get it, Zach Woolchuck.
Let's go.
It's the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
Here on DFW Sports Station, we are the official home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Rangers, and we got a special guest for the 9 o'clock hour. Nick Harris will do it tomorrow from 8 to 10. Wooly Bully from the G-Bag Nation with the NFL Draft tomorrow night. Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, and the rest of us will be at all your neighboring Pluckers locations. So yesterday, pre-draft press conference, Jerry Jones saying, yeah, we're working on like two moves right now. They could happen before or after the draft. All the eyebrows go up, and then you try to figure out who and to what level. Last time Jerry talked about something significant, it ended up being the disappointment of Jonathan Mingo. So, Zach, I'm sure you guys did a little brainstorming on G-Bag. I'm sure Broadus was on the phone in every damn commercial break. Come up with any names or ideas of what Jerry and Steven could be working on?
Yeah, Brian, he was working on it, and some of the names that he came up with: Jalen Ramsey with the Dolphins, Jair Alexander of the Green Bay Packers at corner, Rashad White, the running back out of Tampa Bay, ETN, the running back from the Jags, another name out there, Jamison Williams, the wide receiver from the Lions, who's also an expiring contract, and then George Pickens of the Steelers. This would be surprising to me unless it's like a day three type of pick, which we've seen them do before, like a five right for Gilmore and Cooks.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't really fit the team building model that the Cowboys have put out there when it comes to giving up a premium pick one through three, where you're going to get a contract on the cheap for 4 years. You're a team that wants to build through the draft and develop, and you're going to use that to then trade for a player that you're going to have to end up giving a contract to if it were, say, Jamison Williams or George Pickens. So I don't know. I'm not really buying it, but maybe if the value ends up being good for them, they pull the trigger on it.
Maybe they mean trading somebody of their own. Maybe they want to pick up capital. I think
you have a name.
I don't know functionally how feasible it is and everything else, given what his injury situation is.
Diggs.
But Diggs makes a ton of sense.
Sure. Yeah. So yesterday, and I think it's important because we crush them and kill them all the time. Jerry was trying to explain waiting on the contracts, right? And he's like, "Well, sometimes you want to wait to be right. We've made mistakes." Now, my counter to that, if we were interviewing him, would be, you don't have to wait on Micah Parsons. There's nothing left to be decided. You didn't have to wait on CeeDee Lamb. We knew he was a stud. You want to wait on Dak? I agree with that the first time around, even though it cost you money. And I'm still unsure exactly what Dak Prescott is year to year. But it doesn't apply here to wait whatsoever. Unless there's something, you have to be able to answer. So if I'm in the room with Jerry, I would say, okay, what could Micah do that wasn't illegal that would have you not want to extend him or trade him? And you have to have an answer for me on that. If he skips every damn workout, doesn't show up to training camp, you're still going to sign him. So you're waiting and seeing and making sure you're right doesn't apply here. But it did apply to Diggs. We all sit there. Like, this Diggs contract is a mistake. I think it's going to end up being a mistake. Trayvon, stay out of my DMs this time. But while we all applaud and say, you're getting it earlier rather than later, we do have to acknowledge the times where it has burned them.
Yeah.
And that's why you brought up his name.
Think about who they've gotten under. They got Tyrone Crawford done early. That was one that ended up not getting value. Jalen Smith got done early. Didn't get the value back on it.
Yep.
Diggs, same sort of way. Now, obviously, there are also the times where they get it done early with Tyron Smith off of his rookie deal, Zach Martin. And they got deals done for that. And that's good. But, yeah, typically the waiting game is not profitable for them.
It does not apply to no-brainers.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think it's – I think it's just a question of – like, they would say, yeah, we're going to sign him. We want him. That's not the question. It's that – it's this cat-and-mouse game of, do they come in here asking for – knowing that they're going to negotiate down. Do they come in here asking for 50? It's like, well, how much can we walk them down? Or if they've walked down on some of their price before, could they walk them down a little more?
Yeah.
The Dak one was never – they should have just gotten the Dak one done in spring, even like for the same exact contract value, because that number was never going to change because he had all the leverage. They should have been ahead of it. Micah feels like one where that's not going to change. Just do it.
It feels like they're fighting over a guarantee or disagreeing over a guarantee, waiting on a guarantee compromise. Of the trade names that Zach brought up, who would you want at the top of that list? Like when you said Jameson Williams, I said, whoa, like is there talk? Of Jameson, because Jameson Williams to me is Matthew Golden, proven.
Mm-hmm.
He's 24. Is Detroit going to, is there talk about Jameson Williams getting out of there?
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the trade block.
They've had so many different guys that they've already paid, like Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Penei. They've gotten ahead of a bunch of their contracts. They still got to pay Kirby Joseph. Like, so it makes sense that they were like, we can't necessarily pay everybody.
Like Ramsey to me, slipped, old. How good is he? Like, is Ramsey better than Jair Alexander? Jair Alexander is a kook.
Jair Alexander is this. He is up and down
all
the time.
He's a hurt guy. I mean, he's played, I think, 14 games the last 2 years.
Etienne? Or would you? I'd rather just draft someone in the third or fourth.
Probably rather draft him, because what's Etienne making?
He's probably also on about the last year or two of his rookie deal.
But he was a first rounder.
Yeah.
So you would have a fifth-year option on him. His average salary is about three, and then the fifth-year option, I don't know what that would project. The fifth-year option projects to six right now. I'd rather just draft somebody.
Yeah, trading for a running back makes no sense to me.
Honestly, the name that I might entertain a little bit, there are two of them, actually, but they're both within the division. They're both from the same team. And you didn't just mention there, but Schefter had thrown him in there, which is buy low on Evan Neal, maybe, because they really liked Evan Neal when he was coming out. And if they want an offensive line depth, see if you can flip something to get him. And then the other one where you'd probably have to spend a little bit, but it might be worth it to get some juice at pass rushers, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Are you surprised that Thibodeau has had this career so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think injuries have hurt him. I am surprised, though. I mean, he was considered maybe the best player in that draft.
He's a big mouth, too.
He is.
Asked as. All right, Pepe, we got some text messages on the... Huh?
I didn't realize. You realize in 23, Thibodeau had 12 sacks?
Did he?
Yeah.
I did not realize he had a double-digit sack season so far. Pepe, what draft questions are coming in for the fellas?
Guys, from the 4-3-2, what do y'all think about the Johnson kid out of Iowa?
I love Caleb Johnson. I know...
what position?
Running back. He's my number two back. I know Brian has used the comp of DeMarco Murray for O'Marrion Hampton. I kind of get that with like the way he kind of shuffles his feet.
Yes.
But I think body type-wise... Murray's a really good comp for Caleb Johnson. Physically, pretty much the same height and weight, high cut back. But Caleb Johnson's one of these players that, I mean, I heard, I think it was Lance Zierlein, and Lance Zierlein's really good. I respect the hell out of him. But he made a comment about the offensive line at Washington, and it was Caleb Johnson running through a bunch of wide open running lanes. The guy, when it comes to yards after contact, had the fourth most in college football last year. He had 1,060 yards after contact. He was second in breakaway yards with 861. Super productive. I'm a huge fan of his, and I think he's a really good pass protector. He's a three-down back. He offers special teams value. He's a guy that might end up sliding to the third because there's other running backs that seem like they've kind of picked up steam over him.
I like him, not for this team. Just because, I mean, like for this specific situation, like I need juice. Scheme? I just need juice. Like, I need, like, real breakaway speed, and that's not him. He's not a burner.
Guys, from the 214, what's the biggest knock on quarterback Quinn Ewers?
Oh. So for me, like, I mean, when you talk to, there's so many varied opinions about him around the league. There are a lot of people who wouldn't touch him. I think there are others who would say that's a third round quarterback and there's a lot of high upside there. I think the biggest question with him is going to be his health, like his frame holding up in the NFL.
Definitely.
As a player, I think what you see is he's got the, he's a tough player, like in terms of his drive and everything else. I think he gets rattled at times. He's shown up in big games, but I think when things start going wrong, specifically if he gets hurt, you see some like almost PTSD with him when the rush starts coming in and he's been banged up.
Yeah.
And so I think there's just, there's a lot that gets him off his game, and quarterback being such a mental position, I would not pick Quinn Ewers before day three sometime.
Consistency is a problem, and he nailed it with the pocket presence there. He'll just kind of get happy feet, takes his eyes down, and I don't know. He gets frazzled. He gets frazzled under duress.
877-881-1053 to keep the questions coming in on the Franco & Franco Injury Attorney text line.
Guys from the 214, what do y'all think about Danny Stutzman in day three?
Linebacker from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Danny Stutzman's an interesting player in a linebacker draft that's not that good. I think day three would be really nice for Danny Stutzman. I don't know that he's going to make it to day three. I've got a fourth on him. I think that's probably where he should go. But he might get pushed up the board here, Bobby, because you don't have a ton of linebackers. But the production's there. I just don't know if he's a particularly great cover guy.
He's not, but I mean, if you want to talk about like classic old school linebacker, it's Stutzman. Where he's 6'3", he's a brick the way he's built. He ran at the combine, he ran 4.52 at 6'3", 235, something like that. But I mean, he's somebody who I think in the run game is
really good.
Really, really excellent. But yeah, he doesn't cover very well. And so if you're talking about you're okay with him just being a run defender and you're not going to get him in positions to cover, then he's solid. I have him in the third round.
Is there anything else you took from the draft presser yesterday, Zach?
I mean, running back's not going to be the pick at 12. So I was kind of happy about that.
Because Jerry was talking about the O-line so much.
Yeah, and it also, I mean, wasn't that weird talking about the O-line?
What if Genty fell to 12?
Then I think Genty would be the pick. Genty would be the only one that I think would get you off of that.
Yeah, and I think that they love Genty. I think they don't. You talk to people over there, I think they're just like, there's not a chance in hell he's there.
No. Genty, Bijan, Gibbs in the same class. Rank them.
In that order. Genty, Bijan, Gibbs.
Genty over Gibbs.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Yeah.
What they were as prospects or kind of what we know about Gibbs now?
Not what we know.
So, Genty, Bijan, Gibbs probably.
Okay.
Gibbs was definitely below Bijan for me. Because I didn't know about Gibbs as a full-time player, which is still not even a full-time player. But yeah, I think Genty's a better prospect than Bijan was.
Are we good with the phones or no?
No, they're still busted.
So we have Odyssey at bus and phones busted.
Do people want to call my cell phone? I just put it on speaker.
Yeah,
Bobby's
put your number
out. 817.
Bobby would. You just dare him enough and he put it out.
You just go, you're B if you don't put your number. Okay, I'll put my wife's number out.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Who are the players we do not want to end up seeing in the NFC East? And more of your draft questions, final draft questions for Walchuk and Bobby. And who do we want? I know Howie Roseman's going to be trending at some point in time this stupid weekend. Who do we not want to see end up in the division? We'll get to it after this.
And LeBron will have Randall on him. And Doncic will drive into Edwards. Come on! 31 for Luka Doncic.
Luka going off early, getting his revenge stare towards Anthony Edwards. And the Lakers tie up their series against Minnesota last night in L.A. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ. We got Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, and Choppy's out for a few more days on the honeymoon vacay in his chair. Zach Wilchuk answering all your draft questions from the G-Bag Nation.
Really quickly, when that clip just played there and Luka does his end one, do you think Nico's just, I'm going to see? Told you guys about this guy.
Tell me who on the show, including yourself, is like watching the Lakers, rooting for the Lakers, or just rooting for Luka, or none of the above? And who's been the most pained by it all?
Not Brian.
Definitely not Brian. I think.
What are you damn talking about?
What do you mean?
Oh, Brian talks so much. Brian seems to like low key dislike Luka the way he talks about it. I think Brian was in on the trade.
He's been a heel on the whole thing.
Really?
He tries to like give the
front
office.
What's his justification? Just got Mavs contacts.
Yeah, so he's trying to, you know, oh well, here's the, you know, he's going ahead and he's got his own staff, he's got his own people, he's not necessarily listening to the team. Blah, you know, he tries to give the justification of the front office way of thinking.
And do people lose their ass?
Yeah, absolutely.
Towards Brian,
100%. They'd stick to football, dude.
Well, you guys are killing in the ratings, so something must be good.
Yeah, I guess we just need to up the rating shares. But
hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I think Eric definitely is plugged in. I mean, he's probably the most, like, him and Dawson are probably the biggest basketball fans that we've got on the show. Gavin just absolutely hates the Lakers, so he's never going to be able to do it. But Eric and I are definitely, we're not rooting for the Lakers, but we're rooting for Luka.
All right, so last night you also had Indiana go up 2-0 on Milwaukee. And what was the other game?
What was the other game last night? It was Memphis, OKC. Memphis and OKC.
Oh, yeah.
The series. Which is very forgettable because the series is over.
It's already over. All right. Final draft questions for Zach Wilczek in studio. The coverage tomorrow night on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. That is us, and the rest of us will be at Pluckers. We also have the On-Time Experts post-draft show, including must-hear post-draft press conference audio every year from Jerry.
Can I ask Zach a question?
Please.
All right, Zach.
This is great.
This is the player. We've avoided this topic. This is arguably the player that drives the most emotion when he comes up on the draft show. What are your thoughts on Georgia edge rusher Mykel Williams?
Mykel Williams, I think, is a good player, and he sets the edge extremely well. He is a very good run defender. I think the tank comp is not a bad one for him. The question is just, outside of playing Texas, like, is he going to ever be a double-digit sack guy? That's kind of what you're looking for, hopefully, at 12, if you're going to take an edge. But I think that he is a dude that's going to be probably a starter for a decade and be a really good player. I just don't know that he's ever going to develop the pass rush to what you want it to be.
Why does he generate so much emotion?
So, because you're talking about a top 12 defensive end. If I told you we're picking an edge rusher in the top 12, you're probably thinking, all right, that's somebody who's going to get to the quarterback consistently, wreck shop, high upside. Like, even if they're not put together yet, you think James Pierce at Tennessee. Oh, that's a phenomenal athlete and somebody who flashes a lot. Mykel Williams did not do that. Mykel Williams is basically a run-first defensive end. But the tools are there to be a really good edge rusher. You're starting to hear he was hurt a lot last year, that he was never totally healthy, and that's part of why the production wasn't the same. That if you go, all right, look back at 2023 as a 19-year-old in the SEC, doing really well. But the general consensus is you're projecting him as somebody to impact the pass game. You know he's good against the run, but anything about the pass, you're trying to project and fill out the details. So a lot of people have split on this where they say that's definitely a guy that is a top 10 player, a top 15 player. That's a first round player. And then you have others when you say that's way too much unknown. Like, I think Brian and Votch are on that side where it's like, that's way too much unknown. And I think Brian would be sick if they picked Mykel Williams at 12.
I'd be better than taking him than the three guys that I mentioned earlier.
I like Mykel Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's got the size is something, the arm length. He does showcase a bull rush, the swim move, especially if he played hurt last year. That makes a lot of sense.
All right, let's go around the rest of the division. And let's start off, you know, he's going to be trending. Howie, what are some of the talks and names surrounding the Eagles, number one? And then number two, who do you not want to see them? Who should we be rooting against them getting?
One big name that's been linked to the Eagles, and I would absolutely hate it, is Mason Taylor, the tight end from LSU, because they might be looking to move Dallas Goedert. And I love Mason Taylor. His dad is Jason Taylor. His uncle, Zach Thomas.
Yeah, his aunt is Joy Taylor.
And his aunt's Joy. You talk about the football bloodlines, but there's really no weakness in his game. I mean, he is an all-around tight end. I've got him ahead of Colston Loveland, the Michigan tight end. So, I mean, the LSU needs a play. It's 3rd and 12. He'll get you 13. I mean, he's consistent as all hell. He's just a smooth operator. I love Mason Taylor. That would really upset me if the Eagles landed him.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about them going after an edge rusher. somebody to rush the passer. Brandon Graham just retired. You've seen them put a lot of different safeties. A lot of people have mocked safeties to the Eagles. I think one that would be terrifying to me because I can't figure him out. He's the player that scares me the most in the draft is Malachi Starks. Mm. And he's a Georgia defensive player.
Yeah.
But he's not the biggest guy. Tape looks really good, but his testing was so bad for his size. Like, I mean, you're talking about their defensive end. Shamar Stewart, the 260-pound defensive end from A&M, tested better almost across the board than this 200-pound safety. And so there's athletic questions with Malachi Starks, but the tape is good. So he's one of the ones that really freaks people out.
Washington.
I don't know where they're going to go, really. Defensive tackle, I think, could be in play for them. I would hate it if they got Derek Harmon, because I'm a big fan of Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon. I think he is a really good run defender, and he's tough to get off the ball, but he does have some wiggle. Like, as a true one tech, which is the guy that's going to kind of be your primary run defender, he's got the ability to rush up the field. Weight is an issue with him. So, like, I know I was talking to Bobby early in the process, and he talked about, like, man, he kind of looked a little lazy to me, especially if it was the Boise State game. I heard from Oregon, yeah, he showed up and was overweight. So he kind of had to play himself into shape, but as the season goes along, he started to dominate. But Derek Harmon would really irritate me if Washington landed him.
Boy, it'd be terrifying if he slides a little bit and then Washington was able to snatch up a Mecca Ibuka. That would hurt. Good. That's such a clean route runner. He gets open so effortlessly. If you were able to pair him with McLaurin and everything Daniels is already doing, that'd be bad.
It's a great fit for them.
The Giants at 3.
I guess it's Abdul Carter, you know. I mean, you don't really want to have to deal with Abdul Carter for the foreseeable future, but it would hurt more to get Travis Hunter there. I really don't want Travis Hunter there. I think Travis Hunter's the best player in the draft.
Now, Choppy would say you should celebrate if they take Hunter or Carter over a quarterback who possibly hits.
Well, they could end up still getting the quarterback that they want, maybe moving back up in the first round or at the top of the second with the way things sound. I don't think these quarterbacks are going to be going to the top 10 outside of Cam Ward. So they still might.
Bobby did not think Carter could be in a Micah conversation. That's everyone's easy comp and comparison. Do you?
I don't know that he'll ever be quite the pass rusher that Micah is. I think he can be a better all-around end. I think he sets the edge better and is a better run defender. Mm. But Micah is a unique freak when it comes to rushing the passer. He's definitely a more explosive player than what Abdul Carter is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Carter has a lot of upside, and he's really good. It's you're talking about, all right, there's Micah, and then there's, like, this is the generic brand Micah that you go into the store and get when you don't want to pay for the name brand. But for the Giants, like, a lot of these mocks now are showing them trading back into the first round to get the quarterback. So if that's Shador in the 20s, like, I think the most recent one I saw from The Athletic, it was they come up to 21 with Pittsburgh, and they get Shador there. So, yeah, I think Travis Hunter, somebody who can impact, like, if he was to come in, be really strong for them at corner and then play some reps on offense with Malik Nabers and give Shador Sanders a chance to grow. I mean, that'd be really difficult if that were to click. But I'd also think it's hilarious if you put Russell Wilson and Shador Sanders in the same quarterback room for a year and see what happens.
So when you're watching a prospect, Zach, do you say to yourself, that's a blank rounder, or you fit him in another way? Are you like, I think that's a fifth, I think that's a third? How do you put the round label on the person?
Yeah, it gets easier kind of, I think, as I've, you know, the more I've watched, I'm kind of able to, like, lay out the board. But yeah, it is kind of just a feel in your head. Like, okay, that looks like a first round player. Here's a player that I like a lot, but there's a couple of things where I see the talent, just not overall a perfect prospect. There's a two. Here's a guy that, man, there's some traits, but there's a lot of inconsistency in his game. He really needs to work out, you know, maybe when it comes to his pass sets, need to be a little bit more well-rounded. Maybe that's a guy that's like third or fourth round. So it is just kind of a feel, honestly. That's kind of the way I go about it.
What do you think the Cowboys do best? Like, when you're sitting there looking at a prospect and they view them the same, you're like, oh, they view this similarly as me. What do you like about what the Cowboys draft with in terms of the traits and objectives, and then something you wish that they fixed or adjusted the most?
I think they're a little too more. They're way more on the metrics than I am, like the measurables, I should say, when it comes to, like, corners specifically. Like, they want to play big, the arm length, stuff like that. Like, Jahdae Barron would be in play for me at 12, but he's not for them. And that's totally fair. You know, they'd take probably Will Johnson, the corner, out of Michigan. I think Jahdae Barron is a guy that I would take over him out of Texas. But otherwise, clearly, their offensive line evaluation, for the most part, has been really spot on. So, I mean, Cooper Beebe last year, it ended up matching, and I thought Beebe would be a really good player. They liked Graham Barton a lot, and Graham Barton was the guy that I wanted in the first round, and he ended up having a really good rookie year out of Tampa Bay. So I do, when it comes to corner, offensive line, I think they do an excellent job.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of people that go, what about Tyler Guyton? Like, I will say this, he's not going to be, I'm not invoking this name as like he can be this guy, but I want people to remember there was a lot of people saying Tyron Smith was a bust after his rookie year. And I mean, you're talking about Tyler Guyton has played fewer snaps at tackle in his college career than Tyron Smith did entering the NFL as like 19, 20 year old. So I think Guyton is still left to be determined. But outside of that, it's the offensive line. I will say, though, typically I have viewed corners similarly to them. And I think they've hit recently on some linebackers that I was off. He went to Texas. I was not a big fan of DeMarvian Overshown. They proved to be right about DeMarvian Overshown. And I think they found some good value linebackers before, like, you know, Damian Wilson and Anthony Hitchens. And so I like the way they've evaluated linebacker.
When you are saying so-and-so in the third or so-and-so in the fourth, how do you, behind the curtain here for the purposes of the show, how do you weigh the amount of audience who's going to identify with that versus going over a lot of people's heads when you are talking draft?
Yeah, that's really tough. Like yesterday, we got a text in.
And I'm talking about on G-Bag, not the draft show.
On G-Bag, yeah, yeah. So, like, we did Trusty's Corner with Brian yesterday, and we did get a text in that asked, like, hey, do people enjoy this? Because I do find it, because we are. I mean, we were talking. I mean, the first round guys think everybody knows. But then when you start going down and we're talking about rounds 2 through 5, it probably does go over people's heads. So that's why I try to do, like, comps, I think, are very, very tough. But I think it's also the best way for people that don't know a player.
Yes.
Just so I can get in my mind, like, okay, that's kind of what the way a player plays. So I try and incorporate that as best as I can. And I think hopefully that helps.
I also think this is a Cowboys market. Like, clearly, like, I mean, the Cowboys are number one, they're top dog. And so because they're top dog, even if people don't know, like somebody who said, do people enjoy this? I think a lot of people do enjoy it just from the perspective of, like, I'm learning. I get to know who these people are because I want to know who they are because this is the team that I care about most.
And Draft 101, packed house, Zach?
Oh, it was packed. I mean, we had an awesome turnout. The questions were really, really good. And shout out to Whataburger for helping us out there. It was awesome.
Pepe, we got some final fan text questions.
We do. We got a couple here real quick. 732, thoughts on Thornton from Tennessee?
We talked about him yesterday on the draft show, actually. I mean, this dude's huge. He's a really, really tall receiver, and he's a burner. I think he's a day three guy. The problem is, for me, I really think he's a one-trick pony, but I did write in my notes that, gosh, that trick is fun. He's just a great vertical threat that needs more refinement with the rest of his routes. But he tracks the deep ball really, really well to run underneath it and locate the ball to come back for it. The speed is something that's special with him. He averaged over 25 yards a catch. So 6'5", 205. If you're looking for a guy that can take the top off the defense, Dante Thornton Jr. is definitely a fun player.
From the 214 guys, where do y'all have running back Jaden Blue from Texas going in the draft?
Blue could go probably as high as the third. I've kind of got him in the fourth round. He does remind me as a more explosive James White. That's kind of what I've looked at him. I think he's an exceptional pass catcher, but the ball security is a big problem with Jaden Blue.
Yeah, and I mean, any of the Texas running backs, if you're talking about any Texas running back, there's going to be an injury concern first because we've seen that happen so much with Texas in the last few years. Probably third, fourth round, roughly. But I mean, Blue is a guy who I really like some of the upside. There is, you're talking about a smaller build overall, though, and a guy who has dealt with his issues with being banged up.
Brother, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Absolutely
crushing it as always, and keep putting up those numbers in the afternoon. We'll hear you tomorrow.
Let's do it.
The great Zach Wolchuk from the G-Bag Nation, integral part of your draft coverage tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday right here on The Fan and the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. That's not fair. The first time Corey Majors has ever heard, that's way too big. Next in Crosstalk.
1-2 to Simeon, and he blasts one to deep left center field. Blade is back at the wall. That ball is history. A 3-run Jimmy Jack for Marcus Simeon. Is this new lineup ever working? It's the fifth inning, and the Rangers have a 7-2 lead.
And it works against the Sacramento A's as well. And they dealt with the call here on 105.3 The Fan. As Marcus Simeon gets going, Wyatt Lankford continued to do his thing. Josh Smith at the top. 8-5 Rangers. And Corey Seager is hurt.
Again.
Because we're not allowed to have nice things. So we got the Anthony Davis lineup of, man, that could be awesome. But crap, it's hurt.
Is Corey Seager, back to you and Choppy's battle a year or two ago, is Corey Seager injury prone?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Yes.
I agree.
Surely nobody would dispute that, right?
Because Nico really laid it out importantly the other day. There's a difference between contact injuries and then all these other things.
That's right.
And so Corey Seager, I don't know if he's ever had a contact injury. Everything is muscles and things, groins.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's he is injury prone for sure.
You have a tough time with that word.
Groins.
Yeah.
No, I just, everybody does. Everybody seems to have a tough time with it. So I say it in different ways.
What's hard? I don't understand. Groin. Groin. Why is that hard?
Groin. It's groin.
They oin.
Oh.
Oin. But mine's rural.
Ron.
Ooh, yeah.
Have a hard time with that second R. Bobby does tour.
Yeah,
see, groin to me is kind of like tour. Like you're doing the double vowel.
Tour
mine is tour. Mine is realtor because I want to say realtor. And if you add that extra syllable, you would have thought that you would have set those people's houses on fire the way they get so mad.
Realtor. True. So you're ticking off the realty community.
Yeah, but not on purpose. But they're like, I didn't spend my whole life for you to add that extra syllable.
Like if you ever called a doctor Mr. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
They get very upset.
Yeah, you can't just call people Mr. these days.
I worked my whole life to be a doctor.
But I'm not calling you a doctor outside of medicine.
Oh, really?
No. Oh, so like doctorate of psychology or whatever?
So I've done many. I've done
you got to have
weddings.
A stethoscope.
Wow.
I've done many weddings in my life.
Wow.
And
like you've married people?
Mm-hmm.
How many?
Oh.
Does Adrian know?
Eight.
Polygamy.
I've done eight.
Eight?
Yeah, I've done eight.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Big love over here.
Why? Why are you the go-to? And do you have to get...
I am ordained. I think I have my card in here.
I would hope so.
There it is.
Do you have to like go back like the DMV, like renew your ordainship?
There it is.
Look, this is like Choppy's black card. Listen.
No, it's plastic.
Why do you have that in your backpack?
Because I just took it out of my wallet. I don't know. I think I took it out while we were in New Orleans. I put it in my
just
backpack.
Just in case somebody wanted to get married.
Yeah, in case.
I'm always stunned to find the various people I know who got ordained for like one wedding where they were helping. So like Hellman. Hellman's ordained.
I wasn't ordained for like the first five. And then
Mike, count then?
Mike was, during COVID, was like, you need to do it. So I went ahead and got ordained.
Yeah, do they not count? Officially.
No, so I basically was an actor for the wedding, and then we had somebody else sign the paperwork.
This is freaking amazing.
Love that card.
I didn't know you got a card for it.
Yeah, so one of the first ones I ever did was like my best friend from elementary school, and her, the woman's father was a doctor, and I said, Mr., and people came up to me after that wedding and were like, he is a doctor. He is Dr. King, and I was like... Well, first off,
Dr. King.
then secondly, okay, I did not know this at the time. I was really concentrated on the couple.
No, I'm not saying Dr. O'Neill for Shaq. I don't care how many doctorates or whatever you have.
Okay, so you're against that, but how do you feel about calling somebody a doctor like at a picnic? Does that feel relevant?
Oh.
Like you're not in a hospital. Who cares?
Great question. No, I'm not calling you a doctor at a picnic either. We got to be in the facility.
Yes, I get you.
I got to be in the waiting room.
I guess I've just been conditioned for when I was producing early on, we interviewed so many people that had different like philosophy doctorates and different things like that, that I was instructed like, hey, when you get them on the phone, you need to say doctor, whatever. And so
I bet those people get really bent out of shape because there's probably a lot of people who are like, but you're not a real doctor.
My first radio fight was with Earl Weaver.
Oh, the manager?
The manager. And he was mad because I was like, Earl.
Oh.
And it was like, Skipper, Skip, Manager. I'm not going to go Manager Weaver. I'm here on 105.3 The Fan. It was Earl.
Do you think if you would have called him Dreamweaver, he would have liked that?
Dreamweaver.
Probably not, right?
I don't know the reference.
What?
It's a song. You never saw Wayne's World?
Sang the song.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, when Wayne first sees when he first sees Cassandra across the room, that's the song that plays in his head.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Corey Majors. Oh, actually, Kevin, can you hold that up, please? Fan cam, Aiden. Look how ridiculous this is. Look at this.
That is a big cupcake.
Mutant cupcake that Corey Majors brought into smashing my face because of that wuss Adam Silver. What do you call him, Bobby?
Oh, Commissioner 2.5.
Yeah. Commissioner, what? 2.5 screwing me over.
Because he, to all the players, he goes 1, 2, 2.5.
Yeah, take that lid off.
No, did you tear the price tag off of this?
Yeah, it was. So the guy just like handed me the price tag, and then I put it on there, and then I just thought it looked cooler without it, and then it stuck. And so I was like, whatever.
Yeah, look at it. Yeah. Look at that thing. Yeah. Sean's like, it only costs $4. I'm out.
It was $5. Actually.
Okay. This this is bigger than my hand. Well, hold it up. I don't know if I can hold it in my hand.
Yeah, so that's the same size as the one that we smashed in my face, or Joey's that face, is, actually. Yeah.
Joey's face.
The one that Joey got smashed in his face, and I went up there. Amazing. I was like, I could get a bunch of small ones, and then Carter could leave them on the floor again, or I can get this giant one, and he can deal with it. Ooh. And there are two candles in it, so whenever we smash in your face, we probably should take those out or not light them before we do it.
Yeah.
Just so we don't stab you in the eye.
Man, that would be really cool if you lit the candles and then shoved it in your face.
It doesn't have to happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen Friday. Whatever you want. Well, just leave it over there. You guys, it can start melting.
You guys can pick tomorrow, Friday. Okay. I have a meeting with Bobby after the show today.
A meeting with that guy?
Yeah.
The guy you've been doing the show with for 4 hours?
We have a meeting.
Y'all not talk in the breaks?
Well, what Zach was here.
G-bag?
Well, we couldn't. The meeting's about Zach. Yeah. So Zach was here. And then does G-bag meet? Oh, not talk during breaks. and then I have lunch with the wife after the meeting with Bobby.
Where are you going? So,
that'll give you something to talk about, though.
Going to a Greek place.
What time?
Is it?
I don't know. It depends how long the Bobby meeting runs.
Oh.
Then yeah. I have some commercials to do. So
depends on how much of a fight I put up.
But so if you got that cupcake smashed on you today, you'd be like really mad.
Yeah.
He's like,
my wife would be really mad, Kevin. And my wife likes your wife.
Okay. So I don't want to piss her.
You don't want to take off your wife by proxy. You want it tomorrow or Friday, whatever you like to
do. We'll let Alec decide. Alec is the arbiter of all cupcake smashes.
Well, guess what? I have been giving Alec all the praise behind the scenes for cutting up audio. I'm pretty sure I'm really the only one who emails him back and says, great job. I give him credit.
He sends me breaking news. I say his name on the air. You're the only one who emails him back, or you're the only one who goes, look at me, reply all. I'm replying to Alec.
Is Alec back there?
Yeah, he is.
Tell him to come in here real quick. Alec, come in here. Now, he sends out emails to the whole company. So, Mr. Big Mouth over here.
I see him in person.
Give me the amount of people you think he gets the thank yous back. Tim Collins, give me the over-under.
It's two. It's a push.
On the email part? Yeah, we say it in person.
Who actually says thank you back?
In an email,
who writes back and says, thank you, man, appreciate that. How many you think?
Two.
Alec, how many is it usually?
Three. I'm going to say three, because I'm going to say Fred probably does it every now and then.
When you do all that hard work and you cut up all that audio and you send it to all of us to use selfishly for our shows, how many people usually write back, and who are they?
On average, one.
Tim?
It's usually Sean.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is it Tim even?
Tim usually goes, I thought Tim is a 50-50. Oh. It's a 50-50 with him. And I'll give you credit, Bobby. Fred does maybe once in a blue moon.
Yeah, because Fred, I've gotten replies from whenever I've sent
stuff. Why did you think Fred?
Because when I've mass blasted stuff, if I've gotten to the star before, he's one of the few that will reply back.
So, Alec, if you wouldn't mind, you can pick tomorrow, Friday, of me getting smashed with this. It's your call.
Okay.
Smash or pass?
Oh, I'd rather not. I'd say tomorrow, because draft day.
Okay.
Festivities.
Yeah. All right. Draft day.
Got to set the tone. You.
Well, I have the cupcake.
You're going to keep it?
I'm going to carry it around in my backpack.
Like a trophy?
No, Corey wants to melt it on the DirecTV
box. Yeah, just leave it over there. Let it ooze and become all whatever.
That's what happened. Thank you, Alec. I just wanted to praise myself there through you.
You're victorious. Congratulations.
That is a sizable cupcake. How much frosting is layered on that thing? Because that's going to be the biggest pain.
Well, I think the candle sticks could be the biggest pain.
Yeah, the candle sticks could hurt.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, if the phones are working today, we will have Kyle Yeomans at 10:20 talking a little draft with him. He's from the draft show as well. We'll have Bruce Bochy at 12:30, and then Nolan Harris from FC Dallas joins us at 1:30 today.
Has Boch, is he ever testy with you guys, or is it always just calm and cool all the time?
I think you get a, and then you get a, well, that's a fair question usually.
Do you think that when he says it's a fair question, he means it, or that he's just saying it because?
I think he means it, but also he's like, I would rather you not ask me that question.
All things considered.
Yeah.
I would rather not discuss this.
But isn't it just his delivery is the same? Like, I feel like his voice is, we always talk about him being like a voiceover type of individual, but like more specifically, it sounds like an old Western movie told from the perspective of a child, but he's narrating it as the old man that he became. And like, there's a time on the prairie. Like, that's just how I think of Bruce Bochy. So I think he kind of talks that way regardless.
Yeah, he's going to answer his questions the way that he does. And he's gonna say what he thinks. And he's going to probably smell a little bit like some bourbon that's left over.
That should be what you guys should do. You guys should see if you can get him mad at you with questions.
Do you guys think that moving around in a baseball lineup is an oversensitive thing?
Yes.
For people that don't play baseball, yes.
Oh.
For people that play baseball, I think it matters. It matters just like your seat. I would feel weird not doing the thing that I'm doing. And they're such creatures of habit. Pitchers are the same way with the way that they take their whole day and don't talk to me. I'm sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
All
How
those
about
things.
7, 8, 9 though?
You not get worked up if you're 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. So you're like, hey, you're lucky you're in the lineup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, lead off, I get.
Okay.
The importance of the second base hitter, I get. 3, 4 all time,
hitting
I get.
Clean up is important. 5, 8, yeah, I get
yeah,
it.
Hitting clean up, but they're 7, 8, 9 you shouldn't have the right to.
They're
say
just happy
anything.
To be on the team.
Yeah. Most, right. Most exactly.
You think we should phrase the question like that? Do you think 7, 8, 9 are just stoked they made the cut that
yeah.
day?
Yeah. Exactly. And Boach would go, "That was me.
I made that cut."
Barely. All right. What?
More Shannon Sharp audio for tomorrow, by the way.
What is it?
I'm threatening to choke her again on audio. Again. In fact, he said, I might choke you in public.
Oh, no.
To the woman?
Yeah. This is bad.
After she accused him of this stuff? Or?
Yeah, this was just
Did
released
Did you hear
this
the
morning.
First one? Oh, Pepe, yes. play the first one real quick.
I don't know. Anything I say, you're just going to like get mad at, and you're just going to hang up on me, so I feel like...
I'm not going to hang up on you.
What does that even mean?
Nothing yet. You want to be a dick to me now, so.
I don't want to be. Don't manipulate me.
Oh, no. If you said that one more time, I'm going to choke the shit out of you when I see you.
And then you're telling me there's a second choke recording?
Yep. They just dropped more audio this morning.
I asked Bobby, when will ESPN, if they do, step in and say, you got to go on the exempt list. I might have to do it here over the next year. Not in football season. I might keep him off here for the next 2 weeks.
When Paul Heyman is dunking on you, then you should probably step away.
You want to rebet this cupcake on a Shannon Sharp suspension?
Oh.
The KNC Masterpiece next on 105.3 The Fan.